This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
And today we are going to be talking about different things happening on the MTSU campus. And joining us in studio, we have Susan Martin and also Susan Hansen. And both of you are part of the MTSU library and things going on at the library, one of those being a special collection and exhibit. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, we both work up in Special Collections, which is located on the fourth floor of the Walker Library in the heart of the MTSU campus. And for the spring and into early summer, our current exhibit is called Printing for the People, Print and Press in Everyday Life. And it takes a deeper look at how the printed word or image has affected and plays a role in everyone's regular normal life. And we try to touch all of the different areas that you would normally come across, like education and correspondence and business, leisure. And we try to explore that as a theme to understand how it came about and how it changed over time.
You know, I think often people don't think about necessarily the printed word and instead just kind of take it for granted, and you see it every day in daily life. So talk a little bit more about this special exhibit and what folks can come in and see, because it's open to everybody.
It is open to everybody, and everyone is welcome to come in and take a look. Our hours are Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. So they would just come in anytime and come up there, and we'd be happy to walk them through the exhibit and answer any questions. And it basically, there isn't a set path for it, and we did that deliberately so they can jump in and look at any point of the exhibit, whether it's large or small. Susan, would you like to share anything?
Sure. The exhibit really covers a broad range of topics, as well as the chronology. We're not being specific to any particular time, although most of the books were published in the United States. And as my colleague Susan already mentioned, we do cover various aspects of life. And so, for example, we have a case that focuses on the use of print in education. And most of the books in the collection, in the exhibit, come from our collections. And we happen to have a really nice selection of some of what you call textbooks, but other kinds of books that were used in the classroom. And most of these are from the 19th century, but I also included a grouping of books on Tennessee history, Tennessee geology, the kinds of things that would have been used in the 19th up through the first half of the 20th century in the classroom. So it's a really interesting opportunity to see examples of these textbooks and learn a little bit more about the background of the people who wrote them. And how they were used in the classroom. So it's been really interesting for me to explore our materials a little bit further. And it's really wonderful that we can present this to the general public.
And we are nearing a time in education where at some point, and I would venture to guess some point soon, kids are going to forget that textbooks, actual books they could hold in their hand, were ever used.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, one of the points that is sort of an underlying theme to the show, because in various examples of the themes that we're talking about, education, some of the books in the what I call the domestic use case, they've now almost been entirely replaced by a digital counterpart. And some textbooks, for example, this is the case. But also things like, I have an example of an Asheville directory from the mid-19th century. And how many people use a phone book anymore? You know, so there's some things that have almost entirely disappeared, but other things haven't. I mean, we are still, even with e-readers and reading off a computer screen, a lot of people are still very attached to the physical book for leisure reading.
And things as simple as the Tennessee Driver's License Handbook. I mean, it's literally in all points of education. We are slowly seeing textbooks and the printed word disappear.
And I think that one of the areas that you see, I think that disappearance or the big changeover is in one of our areas that is about correspondence. But the name of our that particular case is From Dear Mama to Dear Editor. And it's about letter writing and how actually it's not necessarily a book that changed that, but the postage stamp. So the printed postage stamp, which dates back to 1841 out over in England and the penny black, and over here to 1847, where we had Benjamin Franklin on it, it made it affordable for folks. They no longer had to pay a large amount of money. It was paid by the sender, and people started to correspond and write letters because it was available and cheap, and started to talk to each other more, but also to write letters to the editor into newspapers or magazines, which is done today, the editorial. Today, not so much letter writing, it's more texts, it's more Snapchat, but that's a logical extension of it, but it got its explosion in the mid-19th century.
And with letter writing, you know, I think kids today, teenagers today, young adults even today, they are having a harder and harder time writing something as simple as a letter because they're not used to doing it. They're not used to actual physically writing.
It's also the sharing of ideas from person to person, and it exploded that from with the common person, changing the ideas and having them travel around the country, around the globe. It made a huge revolution for that, and be able to know what somebody else was thinking or talking about, or to share the news of what was happening in your own backyard that someone else may not have gotten picked up in the papers.
And of course, with, for example, going back to that writing letters, there's something that is missed today in that email. When sending an email, you may be able to send pictures and all that, which is great, but you don't send, like if you're in another country, you don't send a piece of that other country home, and that's something that's missed.
That is, and you get that with a stamp or even a postcard, and we have examples of postcards on when people would take trips, or to even just use those as quick little notes for it, and with the image, and it also conveys what they saw or what they're feeling at the time, and you've got the human writing as well. So
again, with us today in studio, we have Susan Martin, Special Collections Librarian at the James E. Walker Library, and then also Susan Hansen, Special Collections Curator, again, at MTSU. And this is also kind of a celebration of the James E. Walker Library because it, too, is having an anniversary.
Yes, we are celebrating our 25th anniversary. So while the library itself dates back to 1911 and when the university was founded, Special Collections dates back to 1999 when the James E. Walker Library opened, moved over from Todd into the James E. Walker Library, and that's when Special Collections was founded. It's unusual that a library as old as we are has such special collections as young as we are. And Susan was in there at the ground level. I'm relatively new. I've been there 4 years, but Susan has been there for the 25. And we do have a small exhibit going on at the same time as our main exhibit, which will be available through 2024, our 25th anniversary, which walks folks through the actual room of how it got set up, our collections. One of our earliest collections was early Tennessee imprints. So on display is the first book that got accessioned for Special Collections, as well as sort of a look back over our exhibits for the past 25 years.
And of course, the James E. Walker Library, named after a former MTSU president. And that's over time, people forget even names and who those people were.
And you can still see his portrait is on the second floor, where the second floor of the library has all of the portraits of past presidents of MTSU. And that's a nice stop as well to see that part of our institution's history.
And those photographs in print as well. So another exactly. another thing that people are missing today, I
yes,
think.
Yes.
And again, anybody can come in and visit the library and they can see the exhibit and learn more. And once more, some of the featured topics of this exhibit: education, leisure, domestic, you know, home settings, and more, business as well. So talk a little bit more about the business side of this exhibit.
So the business side, that one, I did that one, that falls under me. And we touch about catalogs. So the ubiquitous mail order catalog, which actually is fastly dying out because everyone orders online now and through the web. But the Sears catalog and the Montgomery Ward catalog revolutionized how people bought things. Folks that were in the country could buy the same things that folks in the city were, and it would be delivered to them by mail, which again, we get back that mail and the parcel post coming back in and being able to transport goods and services across. The print also revolutionized how people viewed products. It allowed for uniformity and conformity, and all the branding that comes about now came about over time through print and through the press.
And there was one time in history where you could even order a house through Sears and Roebuck.
And a cemetery monument as well. You could buy pretty much anything.
And today you can buy pretty much anything online.
That's right.
Which again highlights how the internet has really taken over in so many ways. So do you have examples of old catalogs there to see?
We do. The Sears catalog that we have, unfortunately, is a reprint, but we do have some local catalogs. We have actually the Red Cedar Bucket. That made, you know, the cedar company that made the cedar bucket, we have a catalog from them, which is, I think, would be very of interest. Yeah, the bucket, right, exactly, our bucket. So that company, we have their catalog on display. It was like a little pamphlet. And we have some other more modern catalogs as well.
And some of these companies out there that used to be very big in the catalog business no longer exist.
Well, I think there's only like a handful of Sears is left. I mean, so that the store itself is, all, you know, the catalog is long gone, but the store itself is also on the way out. So it is really a relic of history.
You know, it's interesting how things change over time, and sad in a lot of ways, too.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we also have examples of salesman samples. So a salesman who would go around and sell things wouldn't necessarily bring the full like item. So we have a couple salesman samples of a book. So it would show you if you wanted to buy this set, which was fairly large, this is what it would look like. And they sort of condensed it down so you could see the binding, you could see the pages, you could get an idea of it. And he didn't have to lug around, you know, a 50 volume set for that. We also have some of what they call swag. Well, it existed back then, and we have it. It's for a hospital call system, and it's actually part of our dimensional movable book collection, because you can move the card, and it looks like it shows you a ward in a hospital, and then you press a little button, a little cardboard button, and then it lights up with red, and it shows a little nurse where they would go to help out the patients. But it was swag, and it was a way to be able to say, this is what our system is like, this is the information about it. And that continues today. Everybody gives out pens and other little tchotchkes,
just for promotional material.
Yeah.
And again, anybody can come visit the library and check out this exhibit, which will be open until when?
Probably until July. We say the spring, but really it'll probably be up until July when we take it down and get prepared for our fall.
And this is at the James E. Walker Library on the MTSU campus. Stop by and check out this exhibit and see the library. If you're new to town and have never been there before, it's a great place to do research.
It is. And since we are a state institution, everyone is welcome to come in and use the materials, at least on the premises.
Sounds great. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
And I guess folks can learn more by just visiting the MTSU website, clicking library, and go
correct.
From there.
And we have Special Collections is under resources on the library's website. They could even give us a call, and we'll happily walk them through of how to get up to us.
Sounds great. Well, again, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the things when we were looking at trying to craft our menu to help those who are dieting is the side dishes. A lot of times we're so used to eating starches and unhealthy side dishes. In addition to our spinach, which we've had on the menu from the start, we've added zucchini and green beans, but we've also added broccoli. The broccoli is properly steamed, so it's not too soft and not too hard. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
My grandmother and Ms. Adams were best friends. Amy, she said, Betty, you need to come to Adams' place. You'd love it.
We're talking with Betty Kirksey.
They go above and beyond of what their job is. I wish Ms. Adams was still living so I could tell her, you were right, it is where I should be, and it's very nice.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
This morning we're talking about different aspects of MTSU and different things happening at MTSU. And now in this segment we are joined by history professor Dr. Susan Myers-Shirk and also director of the MTSU General Education True Blue Corps and also Dr. Christina Cobb, associate professor in university studies. Well, how are both of you guys doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you for allowing us to be here.
So talk to us a little bit about True Blue Corps and what that is.
Right. The True Blue Corps is MTSU's new general education program, and it's been 5 years in the making. It's a new curriculum that launches with the new catalog, the 24-25 catalog. It's the general education requirement that every student has to complete in order to graduate. It's 41 hours of lower division courses that fit together in a coherent program, and it's meant to give students breadth of knowledge and the skills they need to succeed academically, professionally, and personally.
So those core classes that students have to have in order to graduate, have those changed over time?
Well, they have now. it had been many years since they had changed. In fact, before MTSU became a locally governed institution and we were in the TBR, everybody in Tennessee had the same courses and the same structure. And in the last 5 years, we've been engaged in conversations about how we can change that. One of the things that we did was we did take all the old courses and we rolled them into the new core, but then we added new courses and we redesigned the categories.
And how has technology played a role in these changes?
Oh, wow. Obviously, it's something that we've been considering. The courses are going to be offered online. Some of them have been in the past, but we're pushing toward having as many as possible offered online so that students can have access, online students can have access to them. But it's also the process itself was affected by the pandemic. because we had to take our discussions online in spring of 2020 like everyone else. And a good bit of the conversation occurred either in Zoom meetings or in our learning management system.
And interesting enough, you started talking about making these changes directly before COVID-19.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'd spent a year or two in conversation. We were getting to the point of some decision making, and the whole thing went online. Mm-hmm. So,
and the True Blue Core Committee, that was a group who I guess was made up of different professors and others at the university.
Mm-hmm. That's a faculty senate committee. It's a standing committee that meets every year. It's responsible for overseeing the general education curriculum. And so they were ultimately the committee that was responsible for making the decision. We tried to make the process really open and inclusive, and we invited faculty, and we included students in this process too. Mm-hmm. But then ultimately the decision about the changes that we were going to make were made by the committee and then recommended to the provost. Ultimately, the provost makes the final decision.
So with students involved in the decision-making here or the idea setting for the decision to be made, what kind of feedback and what kind of thoughts did students have on this core group of studies?
Right. So we did a big survey when we started out, and we got really good response from students. And a lot of them honestly were concerned about the value of the core. And they felt like, you know, some of them raised questions about, you know, why am I doing these courses? I want to get to my major. Mm-hmm. But then there were others who said, my life was changed by these core courses. And so that's why we wanted to keep the good stuff, right? Because we wanted them to have the opportunity to have those good experiences. But then we wanted to address this question of value. And I feel like we really did that when we rewrote the student learning outcomes. And that doesn't sound really exciting, but let me say why it is. We based the new student learning outcomes on market research. And these are the skills that employers say they want students to have when they graduate. And they are the skills that professors say students need to succeed in their majors. And so we feel like we're really delivering kind of value added in the new core, and we're addressing some of those questions that students raised about value initially.
That question that probably has been asked by students since the first day school was ever thought of was, you know, why am I taking this? I'm not going to do this, you know, fill in the blank, when I get older or when I graduate and go to a real job.
Right.
So how do you answer that question that's been asked for decades?
Right. So I'll give my answer, and I'll let Christina jump in here too. One of the things that that I think about when I think about a university education is that it's both of these pieces. If you have just your major, that's technical school. If you have just your gen ed, you can get that at a community college. But when you put those together, that is a university education. And those core courses are laying the foundation for your success no matter what you do. No matter what major you choose, no matter where you go in life, the breadth of knowledge that you're getting in your core courses is just foundational to all of that.
And Christina, what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I used to be one of those students that say, well, why do I need this gen ed course? So I'm glad you asked that question. And for me, I would say, being a professor now, I'm like, I got to write papers. I have to do speeches. And I would have never thought I needed that as a math major. I was like, I just need to know the math. But I need to know also how to present that and do lectures and write articles. So all of that is needed for your gen ed requirements.
So a better understanding of life in general,
yes,
in a lot of ways. And the ability to go about saying what you think or feel like life is about or what the subject is about. I don't really know how to describe it, but it does cover a very broad leaf of things out there.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that it's a requirement for accreditation. So it's something that
you gotta take it.
Is nationally recognized as necessary to a university education, that having that breadth of knowledge makes you a university educated person.
And what are some of these core classes or subjects in?
Okay, so we have, so the way the core is organized, it's organized into two sections, foundational skills, and then something we've called knowledge domains. And so the human society and social relationships is one thing you'll study, scientific literacy, history and civic learning, and something we've called creativity and cultural expression. And some of the classes in that, for instance, there's a new class on personal finance. There's a new class on acting for non-majors. Mm-hmm. What else have we got?
We have the intro to cybersecurity. I'm really excited about that one.
Yep. Yep.
How people learn.
Nutrition and food science has a course in there now.
Oh, Nashville and his music. I'm really excited about that one.
That's
as well.
Another one that mm-hmm. folks were, that students and and parents, we've been mm-hmm. on the True Blue Tour and they've expressed mm-hmm. some interest in these courses. Mm-hmm. So,
see, those sound interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah.
not yeah. The basic, what some would see as boring right. type courses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the other thing, our history department has done is they redesigned all their classes so they now have themed courses. Mm-hmm. So you can take a history class that aligns with your interests. So there's an aviation course that they're offering in the fall that has really attracted the interest of our aerospace majors.
So in deciding what courses to focus on and to offer to students, the group of those who got together, did they narrow it down to 20 things and then 10 things? How did they do that?
So the mm-hmm. outcomes, it's based on the outcomes. Mm-hmm. And so when faculty redesign their classes and they proposed it for a particular category, they have to show that that their course will meet the outcome for that category. So and the committee has been really faithful in doing that as they've considered courses to add to the core. The question is, can you show that students will achieve that outcome? So critical thinking, information literacy, written communication, those are our outcomes. Can you achieve those in this class? And that has really guided what the committee has the decisions they've made.
Finance being one of those, that's an interesting topic because, you know, I was talking to somebody just yesterday about finance and finances mm-hmm. because, you know, I remember a time growing up where every house in Murfreesboro was 1,800 square feet or smaller. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like just out of the blue, everything was 3,000 square feet or bigger.
Yeah.
So people's thoughts mm-hmm. on the way they manage their money, how mm-hmm. they spend, right. what they finance, has changed greatly.
Right,
And I teach in the MAP 1010 course, I teach a piece on financial literacy, and it's really important. So I'm really excited about that course that all our students can be able to benefit from.
You know, I can't think of a really more important course mm-hmm. just because of
absolutely.
The fact that's really going to change your mm-hmm. life one direction or the mm-hmm. other in the future.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
So how can people learn more about these core classes or core courses?
Right. We have a website mm-hmm. That's really easy to get to, mtsu.edu/trueblue core, all one word. We're also available in Peck Hall 216. We have some space there. We're working on developing a center for the True Blue Core that will sort of help to oversee the program, do the assessment, mm-hmm. make sure that the program continues to develop as it should. And we also are going to have some student space there. So we'd really love if people would come visit us in Peck Hall 216.
And when it comes to those core courses, that first year freshman, is it typically the freshman or is it the parent of the freshman that asks or calls the university to ask questions about different courses?
I've had both.
Both. Yeah, definitely both.
Yeah, I've had both. Yeah.
That I guess that starts to change the end of the sophomore year or so, or when does that change?
So the core it's 41 hours. So typically, typically students do use their do complete their core in the first 2 years, mm-hmm. but they don't have to. They can stretch it through the 4 years if they need to. Most students are pretty much through the core by the first 2 years of their university education.
And I would guess it's good to get those out of the way so you can really focus or dedicate more time to whatever it is you're going to be doing in the future.
So, yes and no, mm-hmm. because I can see the argument for, you know, the skills that you're learning because they are relevant to your major. It really could be very beneficial to be doing them simultaneously too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not as big a I don't really push get out of the way, and I'd say more, what interests you and how does this fit together with your major? That's how you should choose your core courses. And we have great advisors at MTSU. Everyone has an advisor. The advisors have been educated about the new core. So if you have any questions about your about how it fits with your major and your choices, you should really go see your advisor.
Sounds good. Again, with us this morning, Dr. Susan Myers-Shirk and also Dr. Christina Cobb. And we've been talking about the True Blue Core. And again, you can learn more about it on the MTSU website. Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
The time right now, 8:47. Stay with us. We do have more news and information coming up in just a second.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals. Because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Tire World's annual at-cost tire sale is finally here. For 1 week only, all passenger and light truck tire brands will be sold at cost, plus an additional 20% off the installation. Want more? Okay. Get up to another $100 back by double-dipping with manufacturer rebates. The sale is short, but the savings are huge. Huge. That's because Tire World doesn't put discount in its name. It puts the discount in your pocket.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Well, on this portion of the show, we are joined by Beth Dye, Assistant Director of the MTSU Office of Alumni Relations. How are you this morning?
Great. Thank you for having me.
So the Alumni Spring Showcase, that is coming up in April, so next month, April 5th through the 13th. What is that?
That's correct. That is our Spring Showcase is an alumni, an annual opportunity for our alumni, family, and community members to visit campus and actively participate in the MTSU culture. So where we have homecoming in the fall and we bring everybody back to campus, we try to have some activities and showcase events that campus is hosting during the spring semester.
So is there an average age that you typically see alumni come back and start to get more involved in the university?
We see all ages. We have a lot where some of our alumni come back to check out some of the classes that are being offered during the day. We have different departments that are kind of wrapping up this semester, and so their students will be presenting their papers and their research, and a lot of alumni come back for that opportunity. And then we also have just, you know, new buildings on campus, sporting events, all kinds of things happening. This is the first time in a while in the past couple years that they will be having the athletics, football will be hosting the spring game, the blue and white game, and we're really excited because they're going to showcase our new coaching staff and our team, how they've been working and practicing over the past few weeks.
And then you have some exhibits coming up as well that people can be a part of if you're an alumni.
Absolutely.
Or I guess really invite others too.
Yes, absolutely. We have there's the spring exhibit Printing for the People, Press and Print. I think you just spoke about that a few minutes ago. We also have the American Political Memorabilia, the Art of Campaign and Communication, which is in the Gore Center. So you can tour the Gore Center and learn about Tennessee's and our nation's rich heritage of political memorabilia. Visitors are able to view political buttons, posters, and other items from the Johnny Hayes Political Memorabilia Collection in the Gore Center.
So these are things that you can do on campus. And
yes.
The Gore Research Center is an interesting place. I mean, a lot of great exhibits over the years and a lot to come.
Yes, absolutely. And then we also have our Career Center, which is located in the KUC, and they have the Career Closet there, and you can go and check out the Career Center. All of our alumni are able to utilize our Career Center on a regular basis, where they can help you find jobs or work on your resume even after you have graduated. And you can also go there. They have a clothing, a career closet where you could check out clothing. And it's for our students to also utilize so that they can, not everybody has a suit or a dress attire to go to an interview. And that's something that we have there. They're always taking donations at the career closet. So you are able to go and tour and speak with people there and then make donations as well.
So this is a great service that's available for alumni that I'm guessing a lot of folks don't know about.
Absolutely. And it's a great service that our alum can take part of and utilize jobs that are being offered to current students and alum as well.
Again, with us this morning, Beth Dye, Assistant Director of the MTSU Office of Alumni Relations. And once more, Alumni Spring Showcase set for April 5th through the 13th. And once more, go over some of the things that are going to be part of that showcase.
Yes. So we have, like you said, it's April 5th through the 13th. So we try to cover about 2 weekends and a week in between there of events that are taking place. So much is going on. We have the starting the week off, we have the 2024 LGBT plus conference. We have the Positive Aging Conference, which is they're offering a comprehensive exploration of topics such as mental health and the impact and management of opioid use. So that's a wonderful conference that they have been bringing back the past couple years. Our theater department will be presenting. The dance and theater department presents The Ruminants, and that's going to run from the 5th through the 9th in Tucker Theater. We have all kinds of stuff on that. Monday, April 8th, is a big day. As you know, the solar eclipse is going to be taking place closer to our north, but our observatory will be open, and that'll be open from 12:45 to 2:45 for people to come and check out the eclipse. And they're saying that you may be able to see about 93% of that around 2 o'clock that afternoon. We also have our Dr. Severn is going to be hosting an event, The Modern Musical Text from Vinyl to Download, which I'm really looking forward to this one, where you can join Dr. Severn Honors College Seminar, where he talks about the modern musical text, explores issues of cultural texturality, authorship, meaning, sound, recording, reproduction, and marketing associated with the rapidly changing developments in musical formats from album to the digital format. And he'll be highlighting Jackson Browne's 1977 album Running on Empty. So I'm looking really forward to that.
And in a lot of ways, MTSU, the campus, is like a little city. Not yes. That little, though, because you're talking over 20,000 students there.
Correct. And with this semester, we, you know, there's just so much going on everywhere. We just opened up the, they did a ribbon cutting for the new tennis complex on campus. So, and they're currently working on new buildings all around campus. So it's really a time to come and check it out and see things that you haven't seen in a while.
Now, there's a huge portion of growth, new building construction, and more that really alumni have a very big hand in. And that could be in the way of donations. It could be in the way of opening the door to different companies coming in and being a part of MTSU.
Absolutely. There's always those opportunities, and you can check out our website for those various opportunities as well.
And, you know, interesting enough, it's also in the way of music, because music is a big part of the MTSU campus. I mean, everything from the band to the recording industry program.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of music there.
Absolutely. And actually, the recording industry program is celebrating its 50th anniversary. They're celebrating this Tuesday, their 50th anniversary. But you can go into the Bragg Building and you can tour the media truck that they have available. You do have to set up a time to tour that media truck, but you can tour also the Bragg Building and check out the recording industry. The recording studios that are in there. There's so much you can see. The band won't most likely be performing on campus. Sometimes you can hear them before football games, but you may hear them that Saturday before the spring game. It's very possible. But there are also other activities, lots of classes being offered for people to stop in and see throughout the week. On that Tuesday, we will have a mock crime scene where guests are welcome to attend a mock crime scene as students will work an indoor and outdoor crime scene, determining ballistic trajectories and analyzing blood splatters. So that's a really cool thing that they could take part in.
That sounds interesting. So how do you sign up for that? Or do you just show up for that?
For that one, you can just show up. But all of these things, there are some activities that do require an RSVP. And you can go to our website, mtalumni.com, and you can click on the Spring Showcase event page. And that will show you by each date what is taking place. You can click on each date. Then you can click on the event itself, and it will let you know if they require RSVP. And it'll give you the deadline for all the RSVPs needed.
So again, what, mtalumni.com, is that it?
That's correct, mtalumni.com.
And the majority of these things are taking place April 5th through the 13th, some just a few days before that, I guess.
Yes.
But the schedule, everything on that website.
Yes, absolutely. One of the biggest events that we're excited about on that Friday, the 12th, we will be hosting, the Alumni Center will be hosting a family fun night at the Rec Center, which is an opportunity for alumni, family and friends and the community to come out, enjoy a free evening from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Rec Center and see all that the Rec Center has to offer. They have the rock wall, they have basketball courts, we'll have open swim. You can check out a couple pickleball courts. There's a couple classes that they'll be offering, yoga and dance fit, so they can be a part of all of that. It's a great family opportunity to come back onto campus and enjoy some time together.
And again, our guest this morning, Beth Dye, Assistant Director of the MTSU Office of Alumni Relations. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Right now that time, 8:59. Stay with us. We do have news coming your way next from CBS and also with Ron Jordan, who's going to take a look at local news. Again, all of that comes your way in just a minute. You're listening to WGNS. More news to come.
We've got your local sports fix. Weekdays at 5, it's All Sports Talk with Monty Hale Jr. and Tim Tackett here on WGNS.